And welcome to Geek History Lesson. I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And I'm Jason Smells Like Mahogany Inman. Welcome to your Mind University, because it smells like books this week. And we're going to be doing something a little bit different. I know we usually talk about one character or one construct or one book in a little bit less than an hour. But today we're going to be talking about a lot of books. And why is that, Ashley?
That is right. We're doing something a little different this week. We are starting the new year off.
Happy New Year!
Happy birthday, to quote Frosty the Snowman.
Could be happy. You know what's a good gift for your birthday? Books.
Books. Every time, always books.
Bringing it back around.
Thank you. So we're starting off this new year with a new experience for Geek History Lesson listeners, because we got to have this last year that was hosting a panel at an international comic book convention.
Which one was that?
For us.
Yeah.
It was MCM London Comic Con at the Excel Center in London, England.
That's true. It wouldn't be international for anybody that lived in London.
Yeah, this would be like,
hey, it's just right down the street.
But so it was international for us.
It's right across the tube.
That's right. Right across the channel. So this week's episode is Best Geeky Prose Reads. And it was a panel that I hosted at MCM London. And I was joined by a longtime Mind University student, Jordan Dunn, on my panel. Jordan also hosts the Books to Last podcast with both Jason and I have guested on. Jason has a lot of great American recommendations.
Mine was a weird Western. I suggested a lot of Western episodes. And then I later heard, I was informed by Miss Jordan, the guest host of this episode, that she read one of my picks from her Books to Last podcast, which I was very inspired. So Ashley,
you made a good recommendation.
Ashley, no. The truth is that I have converted a British person to full cowboy. And as an American, I consider that a win.
Okay. I'm gonna allow you to have that as a win.
Yeehaw.
So Jordan joined me live to talk about geeky prose books and how they fit alongside the comic books on our shelves. We are super, super proud of this panel. We are thrilled to be sharing it with you as a live episode here today.
Let me ask you this, Ashley.
Yes.
I'm a normal GHL listener.
Yeah.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm a normal GHL listener.
Normal GHL listener.
I don't know. I mean, what? Why aren't you guys just talking about Superman or Batman? Like, I mean, why should I continue listening to this episode? I mean, I like Superman and Batman, but like, I don't know, books, smelly books. Should I continue? Why should I? What is so fascinating about this episode, Ashley? Please convince me.
We have a new guest host that you've never heard before on the show, making her debut. She has a delightful accent.
Plus 5 points.
So definitely at least plus 10 for that alone.
Okay, I'll give you 9.
But cast your mind back to the far gone year of 2022.
Cast your mind back ages ago
to some of the most popular bits of media, like House of the Dragon
or
The Rings of Power.
Those are sort of a book.
Disney has an upcoming series called Percy Jackson. HBO ended the year with His Dark Materials.
Those are books.
These are all geeky prose books that have the same themes, the same character archetypes, and they're just presented in a different format. And Jordan and I were super passionate about letting people who think that there are too many words on the page know there's never enough words on the page.
Plus 27 points. You have convinced me.
Thank you. I'm so glad you're going to be listening to this episode.
So we're super proud of this panel. We're thrilled to be sharing it with everybody. It's a live episode recorded live at MCM London Comic Con. Lovely Ashley, lovely Jordan. Anything else they need to know?
Strap in, open up your book purchaser of choice, and just let the TBR flow.
You're going to get a lot of good books to start off your great 2023. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
And happy book reading, because without further ado, here is your Best Geeky Prose Reads panel live from MCM London.
Hello, everybody at the creator stage of MCM London Comic Con, the longest name of any convention I've ever attended. This is the Geek History Lesson and Books to Last podcast crossover, talking about geeky reads. My name is Ashley Victoria Robinson. If you don't know me, I'm cosplaying today as a tired Canadian, because that is what I am. I am the host of Geek History Lesson, and I'm also the host for Popverse, which is Read Pop's internal media company. And I am joined by Jordan Dunn.
Hello.
Tell everyone why you're so amazing.
Well, I don't know about that, but I'm Jordan Dunn, and I'm the host of the Books to Last podcast, which is a book podcast that challenges book lovers to pick the only five books they can take with them when cast away to a mystery remote location that they get to choose, because I hate desert islands. And yeah, they just go through their five favorite books and we talk about them, which I love to do.
And I have been on that podcast.
And Ashley has been a very esteemed guest of the podcast. And yeah,
I demanded to be on it, if we're being very, very honest and very frank. So I have a couple questions to start off, and I would love to get your answer.
Okay.
And if anyone wants to shout, go for it. We'll see if the microphones pick you up. First, you and I both lean super heavily on books and comics in creating our podcast. What is it that made you a lifelong reader?
So when I was younger, I love to read to sort of just escape into fictional worlds. It helped me sort of make sense of, even though they were so far removed from reality, it maybe made sense of like the world around me. And I just loved characters and I would just become obsessed with them. And then I read for all of my childhood sort of into school. And then I went into higher education and it sort of never stopped but dropped off, and then I've recently sort of reclaimed it and started to read a lot more. But yeah, I feel like probably Percy Jackson series is the series I credit with the series that made me fall in love with reading, because I just devoured those books in like 5 days.
And Percy Jackson is super geeky.
It really is.
Deeply mythology based. It's really, really smart. So if anyone out there wants like a Percy Jackson expert when the new show comes out, Jordan is great. You're the reason that I started reading the series, because when I came out, I was like, I am too old to be reading Percy Jackson. I have already read Lord of the Rings, which is a very, very silly attitude to have, because those books are freaking incredible.
So good.
What got you into comics?
Geek history lesson.
Hey, that didn't have to be the answer, but thank you so much.
Genuinely, so I had never listened to any podcast ever before I listened to Geek History Lesson. And then I started a ridiculously long commute when I was about 17 years old.
What is, in the UK, what is a ridiculously long commute?
2.5 hours, including 2 buses and a train.
Takes me 2.5 hours to go less than 19 miles in Los Angeles.
That's 56 miles. So to be fair, I used to do okay. But it was like 2 buses, sometimes 2 trains. Uh-huh. And then I eventually got to the point where I would sort of drive to the train station, and then now it's just the 1 train, so it's less. But it was probably 2.5 to 3 hours, and that's if there was no delays or cancellations, which there is, or no train replacement bus services, which are just awful. But I had a lot of time to kill, and I filled it with I got tired of like listening to the same playlist all the time, so I thought, oh, I'll try a podcast. And then I wanted something kind of nerdy, geeky, something that I enjoyed, and I found Geek History Lesson, and I loved it, and yeah, recommended reading from Geek History Lesson was always amazing, so yeah, that's pretty much what did it for me.
I think it's fascinating that you came to comic books as an adult person. I mean, 17, you're almost 18. If you're in any country besides the United States, you're a proper adult at 18, because for me, I grew up in Canada, like I mentioned. It's my number one personality trait. My mom's family is French, so we grew up reading all the classic French comics like Babar, Tintin, Asterix and Obelix. And my parents were like, as long as you're quiet and reading and you and your brother are not drawing arterial blood, we're good. And then we use a lot of coins in Canada. So my dad would give me a $2 coin, which we call a toonie, hilariously. So I would go to comic book stores, go to the quarter bin and be like, how many Robin comics can I get for $2? Turns out all of them. Nobody loved Tim Drake as much as I did. And I think it is so interesting that for so many people coming up to like the popularity of the MCU and the Dark Knight, that you came into comics as more of an adult person.
Yeah, I think what kind of sparked the interest to sort of dig into was probably the Avengers movie, not even
Fair.
Iron Man movies, it was the Avengers movies, because I think my friends really wanted to see it in cinema, so I was like, sure, we'll go to this thing, and I went and I actually kind of enjoyed it, and I was like, oh, this is kind of cool and not dorky, which is...
Lies and slander. Super dorky.
Which I was just, well, I mean, my objective opinion of what cool is doesn't necessarily mesh with most people.
Same. I mean, so. I think Benedict Cumberbatch is like the most beautiful man in the world, and he looks like an alien. So,
yeah,
it's true.
So, yeah, it was really cool. And I'd always sort of pictured superheroes as specifically Superman and Batman, who I actually did not. I did not rate any of the DC superheroes when I first came to Geek History Lesson, and then Geek History Lesson fully converted me from being like a preferer of Marvel to DC characters, and I'm sick of explaining to people how technically the Bat Family comics are so much better than
any
Marvel.
That's right. When we started Geek History Lesson, I hadn't read any Superman. I read a Superman comic because I was like, that's too American. I don't like Superman. I also hated Captain America, like on that same principle, being like, how could I like a nationalized superhero in that way? Okay, so as our prose expert on the panel, how do you think comic books and prose intersect, especially now where superheroes are like the kings and queens of all media?
So I think it's quite interesting because in book spaces online, it's definitely changed now, but in the sort of reading book community, people kind of didn't count graphic novels or comic books among their reading. There's probably the same group of people who didn't count audiobooks as part of their reading either. Mm-hmm. And they just didn't consider it as, the same thing because it was more pictures, I suppose. I don't know, but
I'm imagining Beauty and the Beast where Gaston's like, how do you read this? There's no pictures.
Genuinely, that was basically just like the entire vibe. And then eventually it started to change. I don't think I could possibly point to what it was. I think with the prevalence of the MCU and then superheroes becoming, I suppose, more mainstream in a way that they weren't before, graphic novels sort of came into it. Still not so much with comic books and superheroes. Mm-hmm. I follow some specific creators who love them, but when people say graphic novels, they think more along the lines of, I'm just going to forget. So there's a lot of graphic novel adaptions of prose books now, which are very popular, and then sort of web comics and stuff like that coming.
Or something like Heartstopper, I feel like, is super hot right now.
Heartstopper is obviously really big, but still for me, when I go to graphic novels, I don't tend to read that kind of grouping of them as much. So I always sort of, if I'm reading a graphic novel, I go to comics and stuff like thingy. So it's interesting because they do still seem quite separate, but they definitely are merging more. And superheroes seem to be making it into prose more now. So people are writing prose books about superheroes instead of just comic books as well, which is quite cool.
If anyone doesn't know, Tom King, who famously wrote on Batman and just did Riddler One Bad Day and has like more Eisners than anyone in the world right now, broke into comics because he wrote a prose book about superheroes. And he tells a story that to this day in his father's garage, he still has like two full pallets of that prose book because nobody wants them from him, which I think is super fascinating because he's like the king of the whole genre right now. But as you say, like Dune, for example, and Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon are all getting comic book adaptations, but I don't know if it goes as much the other way, because I would love to ask you about your experience with like Bookstagram and BookTok, because that's where I get a lot of my best recommendations, and I feel like they don't give comics the respect they deserve either.
I can only really speak to Bookstagram because I have come to the conclusion that I am too old for TikTok.
I hate it. I have a TikTok. Please follow me on TikTok at Ashley B. Robinson. I hate every second of it.
I don't have TikTok. I refuse to download it onto my phone. It doesn't matter how many people tell me that I should get it. It's amazing. And the videos are really good. And that's not because I think I'm too good for it. I'm sure it is great and loads of people think it, but I already spend too much time on my phone. I don't need another app to encourage me to spend more time on my phone. So I'm trying to claw some of my time back from this handheld device that rules it. So that's why I don't have TikTok. So I don't really have very much of a gauge other than looking at the BookTok presents sections of bookstores, which is always fascinating to me to see what is getting a resurgence because BookTok has got a hold of it. Because
Jane Austen is having a moment right now.
Trilogies and dystopian books and like these fantasy and YA series that I read like 10 years ago, like when I was in the height of my sort of preteen sort of reading phase, are getting this like renaissance where it's like, oh my God, have you heard of this series called Legend? And I'm just like, yes. I find it really interesting to see what's being spotlighted there, but at the same time, I think that's a good thing, because I think Bookstagram and Book Twitter and BookTube, all of the social media that centers around books, can sometimes get a bit caught up with the next book and the newest release. And whilst that's obviously great because there's some amazing books being published, I think it doesn't give a lot of love for the backlist. So there is a lot of books that have already been published that didn't get their 50 minutes of fame. So it's quite good that they're coming back. So yeah.
Are there any that you want to shout out? Any that you think didn't get their due?
All of those dystopian trilogies are quite interesting, but I don't know. I feel like it's difficult because we're always in a different phase. Like we went through our sort of vampire phase with Twilight, and then we've just come out of Fae and things like Sarah J. Maas's series and that sort of thing. So, I mean, Greek mythology definitely is having like a huge moment at the moment. So I think
in comics too, like Lore Olympus is huge, and I guess Hadestown is huge in musical world.
Yeah, exactly. So I think to go back and read some of those old Greek mythology sort of retellings, I'm going to shout Percy Jackson again. Because it's getting its time because of the TV show, but I definitely feel like those books are massively underrated because they got slightly overshadowed by another young person series that was published just before.
by a much less good author, in terms of prose style and as a human person. I love that Rick Riordan will fully just fight people on social media.
Rick Riordan's basically removed himself from social media now. He's just said, you know what, I'm going to just have someone else manage this for me because I don't want it.
It's the dream.
Yeah, really. But I mean, speaking of good comic book adaptions of books, Percy Jackson does have graphic novel adaptions and they are excellent. So
for anybody who's listening here, or spoiler alert, in one of our podcast feeds, who is like a comic book reader, loves comics, and doesn't think they like prose or geeky prose, aside from Percy Jackson, do you have a recommendation for where to start or maybe where to find a good prose book to pick up?
So I think finding your genre is quite helpful because I read across genres and I have to be in the right mood for them in the same way that I have to be the right mood for certain genres of music. So if there is a TV show or a film that you really like, try and see if it's based on a book, because that's always a great place to start because you know you already like the story. For fans of superheroes, if you really like the sort of corniest, cheesiest elements of superheroes, there's a series of books that I really, really enjoy, which are kind of, I'm going to call them a guilty pleasure, but you shouldn't be guilty about anything.
That's right.
called Renegades by Marissa Mayer, which I generally haven't really read around her series very often, but it is a sort of YA trilogy that is heavily based in the cheesiest superhero tropes, and the characters are so obviously visibly characters that are based on the comic book heroes. I mean, the main character Nova, she's Batman, she has Batman's origin, she basically has Batman's skill set, and she's just Batman basically. You've got your Superman, you've got Magneto, you've got there's so many, and it's so obvious where they come from. And some of it is incredibly cheesy. And if anything, they play up the cheesier superhero names. I mean, some of the superhero names in that series are truly terrible. Like, no one would ever use them ever. They're so bad.
I don't know. We have superheroes called Ant-Man, so
I don't know, but like,
Ant-Man is good, but it's a silly name. Batman is a very silly. Superman, Wonder Woman, like those are all very silly names.
I mean, so the Superman, what I would consider the Superman archetype is called like Captain Chromium.
Amazing.
Yeah, as an example. And there are some cool names, like there's a Dread Warden, which I thought was actually quite a cool name, and Ace Anarchy was quite a cool name, but some of them are just really awful. But basically, it's about this one Batman archetype character who goes undercover with the good guys and to try and bring them down from the inside. And then there's obviously the sort of morally gray moment. But I think you can try and look for superheroes in prose, or if you really like fantasy, I mean, maybe don't start with Lord of the Rings. Read it eventually, just don't start.
It's my favorite thing in the world. Don't start with Lord of the Rings. That is a good piece. Maybe The Hobbit. if you want to start with Tolkien, maybe start with The Hobbit. Don't start with The Silmarillion. Don't start with Lord of the Rings. Yeah, The Hobbit is amazing. Don't let the movies lie to you. A great movie that has a great book is Dune. It's also very heavy, and it was written in the 70s. So you kind of have to meet it where it is and understand that Frank Herbert, the writer, not only marries science fiction and fantasy in a way that George Lucas literally ripped it off and slimmed it down to make Star Wars, but it was also on a bunch of acid at the time. So it's a great read, but it is like dense in the same way that Tolkien is dense, where you're reading about why a tree looks the way it is for 30 pages.
Yeah, and I mean, Game of Thrones equally is a very dense series. So it's like, try not to, if you don't read prose or if you aren't a big reader of sort of prose, don't start with those kinds of series. I'm always amazed with my podcast when people come on with their picks, when they tell me a book, and I've heard of the film or the TV show Property, and I had no idea it was a book. So like Jurassic Park, no idea that was a book.
That's how we felt about One of Us is Lying, which is this huge Peacock show.
Yeah.
And apparently the book is popular because of Instagram and TikTok. And now there's a whole trilogy.
Yeah, exactly. So like One of Us is Lying, and a lot of the big Netflix series are being based off of books as well. So it's quite surprising like how many of them do. But older films. I'm not going to use the word old. Some more classic films.
Classic.
Things like, I mean, Fight Club, for example, or I mean, Field of Dreams, which was one of Jason's picks when he came on the podcast. I was surprised to find out that they were originally books, and I think it's interesting how many people basically say that thing they say about the book being better, it's always better. So just,
Absolutely. What are some picks that come up a lot on Books to Last? I know Lord of the Rings is a very popular choice, but what are some other popular choices that maybe someone else might enjoy?
Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen has been picked so many times. Different Lord of the Rings books. I've had most of them picked, including The Silmarillion.
Yeah.
The Martian by Andy Weir has been picked many times.
That's great. A great book, I think, if you like genre science fiction superheroes. And want to get into prose, because it's a fast read, too.
Exactly, and I always find it so fascinating. I really need to read it, and I find it so fascinating when people talk about it, because ultimately it's about one character, and the fact that it's so engaging that you don't need multiple characters' interactions as much to keep it going is obviously a credit to the book itself. Oh, The Raven Cycle by Maggie Stiefvater. Again, another one that I've not read, but almost every book in that series has been picked. There are quite a few that have had multiple selections before. Some John Green books as well.
Sure.
Yeah. But yeah, Pride and Prejudice is the one that I've noted most recently has been picked probably the most amount of times.
There's always, like in my Bookstagram feed, there's always a Jane Austen book, like right at the top. Someone's reading Emma for the first time, and I know Anya Taylor-Joy has made Emma very cool again. So that definitely makes sense. What genre are you reading the most this year? Because I know we're here talking about geek books, but I feel like romance is also having such a moment now, and it's finally getting the respect it deserves. Like Red, White, and Royal Blue is consistently one of the top selling books of the year.
Yeah, definitely. And I do read a lot of romance as well. I mean, the Bridgerton series, for instance, is based on a book.
Okay, if you read the first one, though, it's deeply upsetting around questions of consent, and you and I had a long discussion online about that.
The entire series has issues around that particular topic, and I mean, the author has sort of gone on to talk about how, you know, it was a product of the fact that it was written in the 2000s, and actually, Bridgerton TV series, I will say, is one of the few exceptions to the rule. It's better than the books.
Yes.
I feel like what Shonda has done with it is it just elevates it. It makes it so much better than the. It really pains me to say that, because there are some of the books that I do really enjoy, but that one in particular, that series in particular, is just really good. I'm reading a lot of classics this year because I'm trying to get rid of some of my backlog of classics. I'm currently powering through Anna Karenina.
Whoa.
You are brave.
I'm getting there with it. I hate the main character, but I'm managing. I read Wuthering Heights for the first time this year. I hated that as well.
What classics do you like?
So I like Jane Austen. I love Alexandre Dumas as well.
Great.
The Count of Monte Cristo is my all-time favorite book. And I read The Princess Bride for the first time as well. So I think classics, romance, I've been reading a bit of, and fantasy, I've been reading Lord of the Rings for the first time this year as well. So yeah, I do tend to read across genres. I need to pick up some more of my sci-fi reads, I think, is the one that's fallen by the wayside. But I've been doing a buddy read of Brandon Sanderson's Skyward series, mm-hmm. which is excellent. And I would recommend to anyone. I'm on the last book that's out so far, and it's amazing.
Have you read Wheel of Time?
It's on my list. Okay, it's very, very long.
I have had Wheel of Time recommended to me by every single man I ever dated in like such an aggressive way that I was like, I will never read Wheel of Time on principle. But now it's a TV show. Brandon Sanderson's obviously taken over scripting. And it's also on my list, but I'm so afraid to dive into it because one, it feels a bit like homework. And it just feels like it's going to take, there's like 13 books. It feels like it's going to take so long to read all of
That's
it.
That's literally how I feel about Robin Hobb's work.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, but very much the same. Like I don't even know what it's called. The one that starts with the Farseer trilogy, Robin Hobb's whole world. Yeah. It looks amazing, but it's a big taking on.
And I know that's a wild thing to say because I read Silmarillion for the fifth time this year and I was like, this is great. Tell me more about the trees of Valinor. Which, by the way, they have one over in the exhibit hall. They have one of the trees of Valinor, which is very, very cool setup over there. This is relevant only to the people in this room right now. This year, for the first time, I finally read Octavia E. Butler's work. She is an American author from California, from Pasadena, which is in the other valley from where I live in Los Angeles. And I read Parable of the Sower, which is her probably most famous book. It's set in 2024, and she wrote it. It was published in the 90s. And if you want to see our downfall and what the United States in particular was like and has been like in a post Donald Trump world, not to wade into that too much, she figured it out and told us in 1993, and none of us listened. And there is a sequel to it called Parable of the Talents that I just started yesterday. And it is so fascinating to see an author who is at the height of her powers in terms of prose style and the amount of research that goes into science fiction, because it is science fiction, but it's heavily based in science. And she also has a book called Kindred, which is going to be a movie in December, I believe, which is about a black woman in the 60s who time travels back to plantation era United States and has to repeatedly rescue a young white boy because he is one of her ancestors. And it deals a lot with inherited generational trauma and the idea of critical race theory, which is so not trendy, but we're finally addressing and coming to light in this populist way right now.
Kindred also a selection on the podcast.
Yes, in a very recent episode.
A very recent selection. So I wasn't familiar with Octavia Butler's work, but that conversation, this is the thing I love most about the podcast, is it brings books to me that I never would have found by myself because I get such different guests on and they always just bring their favorite books, and even books that I had never had any intention of picking up, they can just sell them so passionately that I immediately want to read them, even though I had no intention of doing so until like 5 minutes before they started speaking.
Also, if you ever do go to California at the Huntington Gardens, which is an amazing old rich white person's house that they turned into a museum when they died, they have the original manuscript of Parable of the Sower. They also have a couple original pages of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. And if you ever want to feel inadequate because an 18-year-old woman who was probably drunk invented the science fiction genre, and you see how little edits there are from what becomes the actual text, it's like really and truly fascinating and upsetting to behold.
Yeah, it's, I mean, my original science fiction is probably where I've been reading Douglas Adams's books, but I mean, I've wanted to go back to sort of Frankenstein and I mean, Dracula and that sort of thing. They're all books that I've been meaning to get to so many times, hence why I'm going to the backlog this year. Frankenstein is one that I always find it really interesting because the thing I really enjoy about science fiction is so much of it is based in, despite the fact it is out there and it's often ridiculous, there's always social commentary in there if you're looking for it, essentially. So it's about being able to pick whether you I suppose, see it or don't see it, but it's always really fascinating, and both about when it's written and also what it predicts to happen in the future, like you say, sort of.
So I've never read Douglas Adams. Mm-hmm. I know he's beloved. I've seen the Martin Freeman movie. What do you love so much about his canon in particular?
He's hilarious. He's just so funny. So Martin Freeman actually narrates the audiobooks on Audible.
Oh, nice.
And he does a really good job of them. But I sort of laugh out loud multiple times in the course of any of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy books. And they're only a few hundred pages long. They're not very long at all. And they're kind of, they're one of my favorite sort of subsections of science fiction, in that, like, they are just ridiculous. Like, how you get from one point to the next, you have no idea how it's going to happen, but you just sort of go, okay, science fiction. And yeah, it's just, it's hilarious. It's how he sort of threads in his wit and just commentary on the world around him in sort of a sentence, and it's like a flyaway comment that he just drops there, and you'd have other authors who might have spent a page making that point, and he's like, no, I'm just going to drop it in there and move on with the rest of my story. And I find it really fascinating that, because Douglas Adams struggled really badly with writer's block, mm-hmm. to the point where he stopped writing quite early on in his career, and then right when he decided he was going to pick it up because he had all of these stories to tell, he died, and all of this, or everything that his body of work is so fantastic, it's kind of mesmerizing to think what could have come afterwards but didn't. But yeah, I love all of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy books. They're amazing.
I also feel like if he died maybe in the last 5 years, like more recently, some assistant would have come along, opened up his word processor, and gone ahead and just published everything. Like, again, Dune does that, Lord of the Rings does, everyone's son just
Terry Pratchett slaps
their name. Yeah, Terry, same thing. And just continues to publish their work. So in comic book collecting, there's a lot of school of thoughts of, like, are you single issues? Do you slab something? Do you buy the trade? Do you go digital comics? I know you and I have different ethoses on this, and part of this is because I live in a two-bedroom apartment in Los Angeles. What is your favorite way to collect books, and why?
Okay, so I've actually changed my thoughts on this recently.
But I've seen your bookshelves.
You have seen my bookshelf. Funnily enough, with comics, I've actually decided that I do prefer digital, mm-hmm. because I find it very difficult not to focus on each panel individually. So the way that Comixology and sort of Marvel Unlimited, all that sort of is a setup where you can just have the panel and you can flip between the panels, is just amazing for me because I don't spoil myself. When it comes to actual books, so I have tried to be more selective, because it used to be that if I read the book, I kept a physical copy of it no matter how I felt about it. I have read a lot of books now, and I haven't got the kind of space that allows me to continue doing that. So now, for me to keep a book, even if I kind of like it, if I know I'm never going to read it again, or I don't have really strong feelings about it, I either donate it to my local secondhand bookstore, or I'll sell it, or I'll give it to a friend, depending on the edition. Then the books that I really love, I try to collect special editions of, because just the one, because again, I don't have the kind of space to be having multi. I used to be that. I think one of my favorite series by Scott Lynch, I had like 5 separate copies of the same series.
That's wild.
And I kind of just got to the point where I was like, I really need to slim this down and pick the best ones. So if I really love it, I'll try and maybe see if I can get a cost-effective first edition, or if Goldsboro or one of my favorite bookstores like Waterstones does like a collector's edition, I'll probably try and spring for that. But most of the time I just try and get an edition that I really like the look of, be it paperback or hardback, and I try and curate it that way. But currently my physical TBR outweighs the number of books that I own that I've read, so at the moment it just looks nice.
Yeah, I'm very much like an all digital reader with very few exceptions, and it's just because I don't have the space to keep anything. But then when I fly across an ocean and finish a book halfway through, I can open up, I love library apps. I think like Hoopla, Libby are the best things in the world, and be like, I guess I'm reading Parable of the Talents now because that's what came through on my request list. But you sent me a French language version of The Hobbit because you found it so hilarious. And it's one of the only French language Tolkien books that I have.
So there's a great antiques sort of, if you can call it a store, it's not a store, it's like a complex full of like warehouse building and storage building after storage building over a farm that is basically filled with like antiques and all sorts of knickknacks. And then there is like a used bookstore on site, and in the Tolkien section, because they've got it's a secondhand bookstore, so they had quite an elaborate collection of Tolkien books. I found Bilbo the Hobbit.
Yeah, it's Bilbo. It's Bilbo with an N on the end, which I it's a name. It's a made up name. It's not a real name, but his name is Bilbo en français.
But I found it so hilarious that they stipulated it, like it wasn't just the Hobbit. It wasn't just Hobbit. They had to. I found it unreasonably funny to the point where I had to buy it and send it to you because you're the only person I know who speaks French.
But also, they didn't change the word Hobbit. There's no French language word for, again, a fake word Tolkien made up based on, I think, an Anglo-Saxon word for rabbit.
Probably.
He does this thing which really irritates me, and I'm sorry if you listen to Geek History Lesson, I've mentioned this multiple times, where because he loved Saxon English and Old English so much, he'll use a word that's rooted in Saxon English, even if the more common word is rooted in French. Like, he'll say something is queer instead of saying something is French, because queer is German rooted and strange is French rooted in étrange, which I think like contributes to what is so magical about his style. But when I read it, I'm like, why are you so mad at the Normans? What did they ever do to you?
Wow.
I mean, besides colonize your land or whatever, but
yeah, maybe something to do with our technical first English king is actually a Norman.
Yeah. Also, as someone who lives in like North America, I was like, let me tell you about colonization, friend. we're wrapping down. We have a few minutes left. I did promise this engineer that we would leave in a timely manner so that he can have a nice break. Before we wrap up and tell you where you can follow us online, if you're not going to follow us out of the convention center here, do you have any geeky prose reads, doesn't have to be superheroes in particular, but genre that you like want to shout out that we haven't mentioned for people to go and rush off to a booth and try to find today?
Oh, okay. So I have heard many, 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 many excellent things about Legends and Lattes that, and I've started reading it and it is so funny and just excellent. And I've seen it on the Forbidden Planet stall, so I can definitely recommend you go over and get that. Oh gosh, what have I read recently that's been really good? This is just a thing. So yeah, I don't think I've seen it, but Brandon Sanderson's Skyward series is really excellent.
There'll be some Brandon Sanderson here somewhere.
Yeah, I find it so interesting how he's managed to mesh like sci-fi themes with quite high fantasy themes. Like he's sort of brought high fantasy into sci-fi in a way that's really clever and doesn't feel really clunky and not working very well. And I think one of my favorite series is Scott Lynch's series that starts with The Lies of Loch Lomora, which is a great fantasy series about thieves and all that sort of stuff, which is really good. And the second book has pirates and a heist, so is my favorite. But yeah,
I'm surprised pirates haven't come up more in this discussion, but here we find ourselves. Because for Potverse in our interviews, we ask everyone, like, what are you geeking out about right now that you're not working on? And everyone is saying House of the Dragon. And I know somebody here has Fire and Blood. It's a very cost-effective purchase. It is like 1,000 pages and it will last you a good long time. His prose is dense, but it's not inaccessible the way like Tolkien or some older works are. And if you have any passing familiarity with Game of Thrones, you'll get a lot out of it. That's one of the best things that I have read this year. Jordan, thank you for joining me. Tell everyone where they can find you online in the podcast and give you money. I don't know.
Well, I don't think there's anywhere to give me money, unless you want to come up at the end of the show. But the podcast is called Books to Last Podcast. It's on pretty much anywhere podcasts are found, including YouTube. And it's at Books to Last Pod on Instagram and Twitter. And that's pretty much the best place to find me.
You can find me on every single social media app in this world except Truth Social at Ashley V. Robinson. The V is very important. Ashley Robinson is a WNBA player who's like 6.5 feet tall, and I don't want to fight her. So I'm Ashley V. Robinson. My podcast is Geek History Lesson. You can find it almost anywhere at either Geek History Lesson or GHL Podcast, because Twitter said, you certainly can't have Geek History Lesson. That's too many letters. You can give me money if you want. You can get our lessons early, and you can get our bonus pod that's behind the paywall at patreon.com/Jawin. That's J-A-W-I-I-N. We have a very fun Discord there, and some of our Discord members are in the audience right now. It's like my favorite community on the internet. Everyone there is very nice. And we have a great book channel there and a great comics channel. So I'm going to be running around the floor the rest of the convention if you want to say hello. If not, I'm sorry I wasted your time. Thank you for joining us and have a great rest of your MCM.
Thank you.